I was born bold.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson on SEN.
Tadej Pogacar, the final little sprint. He's going to beat Tom Dumoulin by nearly 1 minute 30 seconds. Pogacar reaches the finish line now, and he is going to hit the line in 55-55. Pogacar wins the stage, and now he can wait and see if he wins the Tour de France.
Well, he did indeed. There's no question about that. It was an unbelievable time trial for him to get up and do that. And we will talk about him, and I'm sure our next guest will laud him. But we're also super excited about the fact that the Australian Richie Porte has become just the second Aussie to stand on the podium at the Tour de France. So we only go to one man when we want to talk cycling. And we're very, very fortunate that he takes our call. Phil Liggett, the voice of cycling, joins us. Welcome, Phil.
Thank you very much. I'll always take your call. You know that.
we did. We don't want to push the friendship. We had a great long chat with you only a couple of weeks ago, but it was opportune to touch base again because it was a fantastic Tour de France, and we've got an Aussie sitting up there in the top three.
Yes, and as always, Richie Porte always does it the hard way. As you know, he's left on stage nine with bad crashes over the last few years. Same stage, you're always happy when he gets through stage nine. Well, now he's got through stage 21, and tonight he stepped on the podium in Paris. So delighted, the end of a super 3 weeks for him, because as you know, his wife gave birth to their second child, Eloise, and Gemma, I think she laid the law down. If you're going to the Tour de France when I'm giving birth, you better do something, otherwise don't bother coming home. I think that drove him on to finishing third.
Hey, Phil, what a performance from Richie Porte. I'm just reading here from his parents. I think it's his mum that said that he didn't get a bike until he was 15 or 16 years of age.
Yeah, it's true, but he was a triathlete before he became a cyclist. But he's built so light. He's like the kid who won today. He's a little bit heavier now because Pogacar really is a youngster, 21 today, your time. And I think Richie has adapted to the sport. He started out helping others win the Tour, like Chris Froome. But then he realised his talent. He went to a team where he could lead the team. During this Tour, he said this is the end of his period of being a team leader. He doesn't like the pressure, I don't think. He doesn't like the limelight so much. He's going to the top team, Ineos, next year, where he won't be a leader. And I doubt he'll be shooting at a place on the podium in the Tour de France. This is his last chance. And he's come really good, really good.
What sort of a performance is it? Can you just give us sort of an indication? 22-year-old winning in his first Tour de France. What sort of a performance is that?
I mean, the kid doesn't know his strength. I first came up against him this time last year when it was a normal racing season and I was commentating on the Tour of Spain, which is still to come. And he became the youngest rider to stand on the podium. He finished third in that race, in Richie's position today, or yesterday in your case. And I think that all he wanted to do was get a result. And the fact is, he's walked away from the Tour de France on the last day of his 21st year as the only cyclist to win the white jersey as the best young rider, the King of the Mountains jersey as the champion of the mountains, and the yellow jersey as a winner of the Tour de France. All he could do was walk up and down the Champs-Élysées this afternoon with his mask on, shaking his head. He was walking in a cloud. He had no idea what it meant. When he wakes up tomorrow, he's a year older, and he realised he's the champion of the Tour.
And Phil, what sort of, well, I don't want to be too crass, but what sort of riches would come his way on the back of this? I mean, would this set him up for life financially, or is it not? Is that not the case?
Well, his first prize is €500,000, which I don't know what that converts in Aussie dollars, but it's a lot of money. The money is shared amongst the team. It's all about the team. He'll get the biggest chunk, of course, but more than that. They always say the winner of the Tour de France gives his money to his teammates who got him around France, because now he can make a lot of money. And in his own country, where cycling was a little-known sport, he and the rider who finished second, who led the race for 2 weeks, Roglic, these two guys are Slovenian. They have become huge superstars at the highest level in their own country. Last night, when Pogačar got the lead, the president of Slovenia hoisted a yellow flag on the palace to fly alongside the Slovenian flag. Today, they were flying into Charles de Gaulle Airport in Paris in their droves. I don't know how they got the tickets because it's difficult to get into France. They were on the planes. I've got photographs of them on the planes. And on the Champs-Élysées, the Slovenian flags were there in huge numbers when there was a restricted audience as well. He is a total superstar, as indeed is Roglic too, who finished second.
And he was all class, wasn't he, Roglic, as the time trial played out and the realisation dawned on him that he was had led for so much of this race, and then to see his team or his fellow countrymen go past him, he just handled it with all class.
Totally. He was the leader for 12 days. He never looked like losing this race. On a normal tour with no time trial the day before we finished in Paris, he will be the winner tonight. But the time trial is, we call it the race of truth. One-on-one, you race the race. If you're good, you win. If you're not, you lose. And the kid, Pogačar, is 8 years younger than Roglic. He won. The first thing that Roglic did in his yellow jersey, which he's now lost, was walk across in the Vosges Mountains yesterday to congratulate Tadej Pogačar. The two kids are deadly rivals on rival teams, but they are such close friends because both of them were inspired for the victory for their country. They weren't racing for themselves.
Hey, Phil, we've debated this here in Australia. Our AFL competition, which is our football competition here, got off to a...
Know it well.
Yes, well, of course you do. You've got friends who play. It got off to a slow start, and then it's sort of been a condensed season, and we've debated whether or not there should be an asterisk alongside whoever wins the premiership this year. What about with this Tour de France because of all the complications and the late start to it? Should there be an asterisk against this in any way?
No, absolutely not. The Tour de France, yes, it's never been held in September before, ever since it was starting in 1903. Always the month of July, always finished in Paris. Everybody was saying, if the Tour de France doesn't go ahead, then the cycling season will take such a dive, it may not recover next year. Well, the government of France, combined with the organisation, they went through very carefully the COVID protocols, and they put them into action. These riders have been in a bubble for 5 days before the tour started. They've not been near anybody. They've had 900 tests during the race. They've all been negative. The irony is, the only positive was the organizer of the Tour de France, because he greeted all the VIPs. He was off the race for 7 days, and he returned. No, this race had to happen for France, and because France is a hotspot. France is getting 13,000 to 15,000 new cases every day, and yet they've run this race and they finished it. It's a huge triumph in every way.
Hey, Phil, just quickly before we let you go, last time that you're on with us, we spoke of your love of bird watching. I went up the little river near my place the other day and I saw a magnificent sea eagle. Now, the next time you're out here in Melbourne, Australia, I'd like to take you up the river, the Macalester River in the Tinny, and do some bird watching. Are you on for that?
I'm on for that. I tell you, those seagulls are pretty big birds, aren't they?
Magnificent. Huge. Yeah.
And then, Phil, you're going to come to my place and I'm going to show you a couple of angry plovers that have been running around. So you're going to be busy next time you're in Australia.
They're probably hooded plovers. They're greatly endangered. Keep the dogs off the beach when they're laying their eggs.
We will indeed. So good to talk to you again. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you very much, guys.
What a great man, Phil Liggett, joining us there on the back of another very successful Tour de France. And good to have you back, Wisp. I tell you, I missed you there for a while, though. I was warming to the solo, Garrity.
I was listening to it on the way in. You do need somebody alongside you.
Footy next, coming up after the 7 o'clock news.
I was born bold.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson on SEN.
On air.
Yes. That's Dave McCartney with the Pink Flamingo, Gary. Nice. Are you familiar with that or not?
No, I'm not.
I know how you. I know how you love having music thrust upon you without any record.
Yeah, no, it's good. I'm trying to keep up with 100 things here. Hannah Green, a late call. She's 3 behind on the 17th, so the computer's slow to update there, so that's sad. She's fallen in a little bit of a hole. Mm. And from a quarantine point of view, it would be 2 weeks even for tomorrow if they lose tonight. So Tuesday fortnight, he'd come out of quarantine. The game will be over by Saturday week, Wispy. And you only get special allowance of 7 days quarantine in a hub for team coming from Queensland. He'd be in a hotel room, not the hub. So... Bradley Hardy sent me all those details, which we are greatly appreciative of.
Pretty much what I said before we went to the break. Gary, I've got a question for you. Tommy Papley could have kicked 8 goals yesterday. Say 7. I'll give him 7 yesterday. He was all over the Geelong defence yesterday, and he's had a super, super year, Tommy Papley. Can he be the same player if Buddy comes back or Joe Danaher occupies a key position in that forward line as well?
Yep. I think he can. I mean, he's a small forward, Wispy. That's his job, is to get out there and crumb. And they'll mix it up. They'll give him the opportunity to be the main target if need be. But he's super talented. But 2 goals, 5, that's not a great game. And further to that, Hugh McCluggage has kicked 7 goals, 17 this year as a wingman. Is that enough to stop him from getting in the All-Australian team?
No, not for me.
Why not?
Well, he's had 24 shots a goal as a wingman. I think that's a great effort.
He's failed, though.
Well, no, he's failed on his goal kicking. That's not the only part about being a wingman. He's not there as a forward to kick goals. He's there as a wingman. He's there to support the back line. He's there as a conduit-type player, running up and down the ground, providing an outlet. He does all that as well as any wingman out there in the competition. So I don't think that is a failure, no.
All right, so 7-17 is not a failure, okay.
Well, no, if you're talking specifically about if he's a forward, right, and he's just sitting in the forward line and he's a forward pocket, then that's a failure in terms of being able to convert. But I think you've got to look at the job of a wingman in a broader sense. And because you've never played as a midfielder and you don't know sort of the specifics of being a conduit player out there, then these are the really important things. Yes, I am.
Oh, God help me. Eddie Betts is going to get another year. Are you happy with that?
I'm happy for Eddie.
Yeah,
I don't necessarily think it's the right decision, but I'm happy for Eddie. I think he was D&D, Eddie.
What, drunk and disorderly?
Done and dusted.
Oh. Have you got any issue with the... I'm just asking all the questions here. Have you got any issue with the night finals?
No, I don't have any issue with the night finals, and I actually had this written down for you too. Can we stop talking about if the dew arrives, if it's wet, they are the conditions that you have to play the game with, and you've got to be able to deal with them.
You don't have to.
Yes, you do, because the football's going to be
5 o'clock.
No, but you don't want to be playing at 5 o'clock because that's not because you can't maximise the TV audience at 5 o'clock, and you know that. Don't start this rubbish with me, for goodness sake. Don't start it now, okay?
Jeez, you've come back grumpy.
I'm not grumpy at all, but you know exactly the logistics and the reasons behind this. And everybody's got to be supported in this game. And, you know, the broadcasters are a big partner of the game too.
No, so I'm right behind the broadcasters.
Well, I don't think you are. I think you've dropped off now that you're not doing the finals.
What about, speaking of broadcasters, Channel 7 and the cricket, what's happening?
You know as much as I know about this, and that is
why
the lawyers are involved now. Okay, so I would think when you get to this point and you're negotiating, there'll be a negotiated outcome at some point. And I would expect, I would expect that at some point the Channel 7 network get some sort of a discount on the cricket rights for the next season.
Well, I think they should get a discount as well, but they shouldn't be trying to wipe their hands of the whole deal. You only did it last year.
Yeah, but that's posturing. That's like a strategy in a negotiation.
This is what
position.
I've missed after our week away. What have the other wingmen kicked? Gary, your tool?
Yes. What have they kicked you to?
Tom from
100% behind that one. Who sent that
through? Hey, Tom, why so mean? Why so cruel? I was just asking a question without notice. I've got another one here.
Yep.
Have you got an All-Australian Smokey?
Smokey, yes. Tom Papley.
Anyway, Tom Papley?
Yes.
He kicked 2 goals, 5 on the weekend.
Yeah, he's...
Did he fail?
He failed with his accuracy at the weekend, but he's been... I've got him penciled in. He plays centre-half forward, so that will be my smoky. Tom Papley for centre-half forward in the All-Australian team. Have you got one?
I can't talk about it.
What do you mean you can't talk about it?
Well, I'm involved. I've got to do the small...
Are you on the... Are you on
no,
the...
I'm not a selector. I've got to do a small part of the...
So you actually already know?
Only a little part of it.
What, one player?
No.
Are you holding out on us?
Yes, I am holding out on you.
Well, that's against the rules.
Well, it's not against the rules.
You can't take up a position like this.
Why?
Because you have to share all your information with all our friends out there that are regular and consistent listeners to our program.
A few of the back bits. I don't know any of the others. And I can't share them with you, so you just have to wait for 3 days.
And, of course, I'm not going to bite the hand that feeds me, Steve. Why would I?
No.
Why would I?
In this day and age.
What sort of an idiot do you think I am?
Our hand's getting skinnier and skinnier at the moment.
They
keep taking away from us. Our little skinny hand needs feeding.
Do you know how many bones there are in your hand, Gary? Because I can see them all.
I know.
They're all exposed.
Tell me about it.
Had so much flesh eaten off him this year.
Oh, crikey. And the Brownlow medal, is it over?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. I really do.
Do you?
Yeah. It's not beyond the realms of possibility that the umpires have seen it a completely different way to every other person out there. And they've given more weight to other performances, say Petrarca or maybe Travis Boak or I'm just trying to think who the other person is that came sort of late in the season with a really solid run. Or maybe even somebody like a Bontempelli who's always polled particularly well. But I would think it's Lachie Neale's medal.
Gary, would you not pick Hawkins as All-Australian because he didn't run up and down a wrong enough? You're going to have to send that through. That doesn't make any sense.
Long enough, Gary, maybe.
Hooker is being chased by Collingwood, GWS and Geelong. That's from Steve. What say you to that, Wisp?
Geelong is apparently linked to every player out there in the competition right now. They can't fit him in. They can't actually fit him in. We need to go to the news.
Chris, is that notice was for Charlie Battisti & Co., Melbourne's most trusted repairer of prestige German vehicles. News headlines.
I was born bold.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson on SEN.
Great to have your company this morning. Yes, Whispy, you said you wanted one question.
Just one question. This is All-Australian week, so last year Sammy made us an All-Australian blazer. Will you be wearing yours just on All-Australian Day, or are you going to wear it for the entire week?
No, I'll wear it for the week. I've got it on now. I have All-Australian week. What about you?
Well, I've been hiring mine out, so I've been getting $500 for it on a Saturday night, $750 on a Friday night, and at the moment it's at the dry cleaners, so I'm not sure if it's going to be ready in time.
I tell you what, the AFL competition is all the better for having Brett Ratten back in charge of an AFL club, and aren't the Saints supporters wrapped that he is, because they're back in the finals for the first time since 2011, and the scenes post-game were uplifting and heartwarming. And we don't always say that about AFL footy, but they were, and it was great to watch, and Rats has been good enough to join us. Congratulations, Rats. Well done.
Thanks, Gaz. Very exciting, and this is the opportunity we've been waiting for. So, it was... Yeah, very enjoyable after the game.
Yeah, I reckon you get a good sense of what a club's all about when you are privy to scenes like that, and it's one of the great things about broadcasting these days. We get to watch what happens in a change room immediately after, and I think it speaks to the fact that you're all pretty much on the same page.
Yeah, it was sort of probably a little bit of an opportunity to sort of thank everybody for what they've done so far this year with the COVID and how hard it's been on family and people. You know, we've got some staff here that, their family are back at home and they've been away for 3 months. And, Rich, our physio, and Valerie's wife's all back in Melbourne with the kids. And, people have done it very hard and sacrificed a lot. And also it was for the opportunity to sort of experience the opportunity to get to finals. And, some people have been at our footy club for 9 years and haven't been part of any finals. So it was sort of just to acknowledge that and sort of say thank you for your hard work and your persistence and your loyalty, and it's just a good opportunity.
Hey, Rats, congratulations. I've been a big follower of Paddy Ryder for a long time. I've watched a lot of his football. I don't know that he's ever played a stretch of football like he's playing at the moment with such confidence and such desire. What's the secret, do you think, to Paddy?
I don't know if there's any secret. He's very talented, and what he does at centre bounces and around the stoppages has been outstanding for us. But we've sort of just let Paddy play and just really concentrated on his strengths. He's been a quality player for such a long period, and he's having enormous impact for our midfielders and opportunity to get the ball going our way. And he's had a fantastic season. As all of our recruits that have come in have played significant parts in our progress as a team. Hill, Howard, you've mentioned Ryder, Butler, Jones. They've just been outstanding.
Jack Steele's had an unbelievable year, All-Australian year probably. When you arrived at the club, did you recognise the talent that he had and the degree to which he could improve still?
It was probably a question of sort of, his ball-winning ability and, playing on Cripps and Bont and Pally and these blokes and doing a great job, but could he do it in his own right? And that was probably the big question we sort of had when I first got to the club, and then to watch him last year and then maybe the opportunity to do something this year. And, we've sort of given him a licence to play. He has gone and done some jobs for us as well through games, but he's one that's really flourished with, just backing himself in and a bit of confidence. And probably the big thing is, not just on the field, his leadership off the field has been really critical in his growth. He's putting a lot more time into others. He's tried to develop Bytel and Burns and sits down with them watching tapes and really invested in others. And I think it's starting to come out in his game, and he's getting the reward for that.
Is he the next captain of your club, Rats?
Oh, he's got great leadership, and it might be at some point. Gears are still there, so he could be. But we'll just wait and see. But he's showing enormous growth in that space as well, Gaz. So, his name would be right up there.
What about you in terms of second time round? How different are you as a coach?
I'm probably not worrying about everything the second time round. It's sort of more just, delegating and giving others roles to play and let them do. I'm very fortunate to have David Rath and Brendan Lade and experienced people around me. Simon Lethlean's been fantastic. So I've got very good people around us and the opportunity to sort of really concentrate on, playing to my strengths. And I think that's, I don't want to be sort of a jack of all trades and master of none. I want to be, we say to the players, play to your strengths and, keep chipping away at your weaknesses. But, you need to bring your strengths. And, I sit there as a coach, I need to do that myself. So having people that can fill the void and things that I'm not as good at, or it's not my area, it's been fantastic. And, I've really enjoyed that part of it, just to, make sure that I'm doing what I ask the players to do, and I've really concentrated on that.
So would your strength be your relationship building? I mean, it just appears that everyone loves you, and I don't want to embarrass you, but it just appears that they love you. I read during an article over the weekend how deeply you go in connecting with every part of the footy club and how you go out of your way to include everyone. So the tactical stuff and the training can be left to David Rath and Lady and all those, and you concern yourself with getting the feel of the place right?
That'd be right. The strategy side, that stimulates me as well, so I try and do a fair bit. But, organising training and doing all that, I'll just throw my two bobs worth in there and I'd leave it up to Rathy and Lady to work that out. And but I think, that was the biggest thing at Carlton. I probably put a lot of time into the strategy and the game plan, but not the people. And I probably got that right at about year three, but, I sort of missed a big opportunity early doors to do that. And then going to the Hawks and watching it, flourish in that environment. And it wasn't just about the footy team. It was about the whole club at the Hawks, and they did it brilliantly. And that's something that we're trying to do at the Saints. And the big thing is I just play a part. Everybody's valued at our football club, and if we don't have everybody chipping in and doing the things that they need to do, we can't have success. And it doesn't matter what role you play, you're an important person at the club, and that's so critical for us to have success.
Hey, Rats, it's been a challenging year in every way, and it's tested everybody about their adaptability, about their agility. And finals now, though, does your finals experience at Hawthorn, what you endured there through that period of time with Al Clarkson and the Hawthorn side, does that help you, do you think, in a coaching experience now?
It does. to see what can work and, you know, what doesn't work, or try some similar strategies or some opportunities. And probably the four finals I coached at the Blues, you know, they're pretty heart-wrenching. You know, we lost by 7, 5, and 3 points, of losing ones, and they're all interstate. So we only won one final, and that was by 86 points or 87 points. So I think from all your experiences, even as a player you go back to, but even bringing in, you know, all the people that we have here and their experience as well. Brendan Lade's played in a grand final as a player, and Benny McLean's been involved in grand finals and finals. You know, Aaron Hamill. The list goes on. Then you've got Ruffy, and we can really touch on everybody to talk about, you know, the finals experience. But I think it's this group's going to make their own, I suppose, you know, pathway and opportunity that they get. So that'll be so critical for them. But I think we should share our experiences in this, you know, the week off before the final, and then just, you know, hopefully grab the opportunity.
This week, you've obviously got a week to, you've got another week to prepare for this next game. How do you handle this week in particular?
We've got tomorrow off. The players, we've just done a bit of an activity down the beach today. They've got some weights today, and then they've got tomorrow off, and then we start training. And that will be really the part for us to enjoy this part of, you know, making finals. But then when we get to Wednesday morning, we've got a job to do, and we've got, you know, stick to the process of how we're going to play against, whether it's the Bulldogs or Collingwood. We don't know yet, but our attention will really turn to them by Wednesday.
So in terms of training loads over the weekend, when you have a weekend off, I mean, what?
Yep.
Will you have a hit out? Will you have some match practice or just a tune-up?
Yeah, we'll probably do some game simulation. Whether we go, you know, for, you know, 40 minutes or it might only be half an hour, we'll just go through that just to see what day we're playing, Gaz. And we'll really work our program out around what day it is. Are we Thursday of the finals? Are we Friday or Saturday? That might change how hard we go and how long we go for. So we're sort of just waiting for that news to come through probably tonight after the game, and who we've got and where we've got and what day it's on.
And Dan Henery got through, which was great. And Zach Jones, we spoke to him Friday night on AFL Nation, and he's pretty confident that he'll be right as well.
Yeah, he's done everything right. I suppose the build-up will be critical. You know, as we get closer, he'll ramp it up and hopefully we have no issues. But he had something similar, you know, through the year, and we sort of got there within 14, 15 days. So this might be a bit longer and give him a good opportunity to get through and hopefully play. He's had a great year and been, you know, huge for us in our opportunity to get into the finals.
Hey, Rats, just before we let you go, we're hearing, and you can confirm or deny this, that Primetime Simon wants you back in the box. He's not happy with the amount of time he's getting down there on the bench because you're there. Is there going to be any changes during the finals?
Letters might come up and take the seat where I am, and then I'll just sit in the background. But there'll be no changes. Ruffy came back, and we sort of always thought when he does come back, do I just go back up to the box? And we've had that conversation sort of happening behind the scenes for a while. And, you know, to have his experience and that just allows me to go back up. And, you know, Adam Skroblak's done a power of work, and he had to go back, about 2 or 3 weeks ago. And his wife had a baby. And, so Benny McLean stepped up and come into the midfield doing the midfield role. So just to sort of be up there and support him as well. It just makes it just work. And Ruffy's experience down there and knowledge and it, probably his calmness could be probably a bit more calmer than me down there. So that allows me to let a bit of frustration up in the box and no one gets to hear it.
Well, you're doing everything right. I'm not sure whether it's this station, but there's so many St Kilda's fans that listen and people who work even with us. But I think it's broadly, if your team's not in the finals, St Kilda are your second team, Rats. And a lot of it's got to do with you without wanting to embarrass you. You handle yourself beautifully. You've got them playing well, and we wish you well in the coming weeks.
Great. Thanks for all your support. And, you know, it's great to see so many Saints people and back in Melbourne, probably with a smile on their face, and everybody in Melbourne's doing it tough. So we're thinking of everyone, every footy fan, but really pleased for all the Saints supporters to, you know, enjoy this moment. The hard bit is they probably can't come to the games, obviously, so that's the hardest bit. But at least we got to where we wanted to get to at the moment, and hopefully we can keep moving forward.
Well said, mate. Thanks for joining us, and good luck. Rhett.
Good on you, Gary.
Hey, Rats.
The coach of the Saints, what a great fella. With us for Chemist Warehouse, get half price big brand vitamins and cosmetics at Chemist Warehouse. And we're here for Callaway Golf, the mighty Callaway Golf with a new big Bertha from Callaway Golf. We'll take a break and wrap up after what's been a stunning comeback to the radio for you and I, Wisp, today, I think.
Oh, you're saying that, eh?
We'll be back after this.